You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast brought to you by NBA 2K25. If you want to know why Coach Sir and myself and Witsy are laughing right now, we actually both, I called Coach Sir and the phone rang for ages before he picked it up. And he picked it up and I said, shall we just start recording now because this game is done? And this was at the start of the fourth quarter. And he said, you know what, Mo, I actually fell asleep for a little bit. And I said, you know what, Coach? Same. So the game's not over, but it's currently 129-88. Minnesota are up. I doubt they're going to come back. So let's talk about it, because the Minnesota Timberwolves came out in this game and they set the tone from very early on. They switched up their defensive coverage in this one. From the jump, they were throwing two defenders at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander way more often than they did in the first two games. Off the pick and rolls, Rudy Gobert is playing a lot higher up than he is usually in the drop coverage, which takes away those kind of short jump shots. Also, the snake dribbles that guards love to run when they come off those screen rolls, it took away some of that, so that the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the OKC Thunder couldn't get to the comfortable mid-range area where they love to exploit. They absolutely balled out. Anthony Edwards with 16 points, 5 and 2 in the first quarter, while Shai and Jalen Williams combined to be 1 of 7 from the field. The Timberwolves were up 34-14 after just one. Scoring 14 points in the quarter of NBA basketball in 2025 is treacherous, but I also do want to shout out to Terrence Shannon Jr., who gave the Timberwolves great minutes early on in this game. By the time we got to halftime, it was 72-41, and the game was in the books. Mm-hmm. So, Coach Sir, a lot of people were predicting a sweep or OKC in 5. That was my pick. But what do you think about this? Is this a case of the Timberwolves playing with their backs against the walls, fighting for their lives? Or have we got a series on our hands?
You know, I thought Minnesota was going to come back and win 2 at home. And I think, you know, I talked to a couple of my friends in the league today, and they thought that I had going from this straight and narrow guy for his whole life and gone on drugs. And, even the people on the TV here before the game were predicting a sweep. Some of the authorities, yeah. But I think it's really great that I was telling my wife as she walked by and just looked and said, how does this happen? And I think, you know, the power, even in professional sports, in any sport, football, you know, European football, basketball, the home court, the home field, fans cheering for you or booing you, it's so powerful and it gives you confidence.
Try telling that to the New York Knicks.
Yes. that's why, but also with that, sometimes it comes immense pressure. And so, as in the Knicks case, I think it's crazy. So, I big time. I'm really happy that we have a series. And I think all of a sudden, we'll see what happens in the next game. But I think it's big time that Minnesota was able to come and do that. They made adjustments, like you said, big time defensive change. And I think that was excellent. And you know what? I've never seen a championship team not start off, and you're a defensive guy, with defense being at the front of their game.
Absolutely. I think it's a case of like human psychology as well, because everyone knows that no team has ever come back from being down 3-0 in a series. So this game tonight for the Timberwolves is the make it or break it game. You know, the game's just ended 143-101, the most points in a Minnesota Timberwolves playoff game in franchise history. 143 points in a conference finals game.
Wow.
Quite shocking.
It is.
But it's human nature. You know, when a team is, even in the Celtics series, you saw that even though they had horrific games against the Knicks, they came back and won one at least. And I think for the Timberwolves, they knew that if they lost tonight, they may as well book their tickets to Cancun. So they came out and they gave it everything they had. They were playing connected. They were making the extra pass. In fact, they were making the extra pass so much that sometimes they would go from a good shot to a great shot to a less great shot because they were so focused on moving the basketball. But you can't really complain about that because that's what you do truly love to see. A team playing connected. Because oftentimes, if a team suffers two losses like they did, it could cause some disjointment. And Julius Randle being benched in the second half of game two. But he came back with a very mature response. He finished tonight with 24 points in 29 minutes. Anthony Edwards led the way with 30 points. They got bench production and guys were hitting their shots. This is the biggest difference for the Timberwolves. Tonight, they shot 50% from behind the arc compared to the
Wow.
sub 30% numbers they were shooting in games one and two. And we all know the role players are going to shoot better when they're at home.
Professional athletes in basketball, especially Mo, it amazes me when you really have good guys, good players, and they're into the playoffs where every game matters as opposed to regular season where you have another game, you have 82 of them. But when you are in the playoffs, now all of a sudden you see what happens with adjustments, with film study, and you see about mature players who can take coaching, like you just mentioned with Julius Randle. And will be interesting to see, like tomorrow, a guy like Karl Anthony Towns, how handle about being benched. If you're really about winning, you know what? You have to look yourself in the mirror, and you pointed out last night he was a minus 20. And so I think, you know, this is what you're at right now. And I think Julius Randle was very mature about it and said, hey, I didn't play worth a damn. You know what? And now I have to react accordingly. And Anthony Edwards, the same thing in the first game, he reacted and tonight came out 16 points in the first quarter was fabulous.
Absolutely. You know, they had three double digit scorers, no, four double digit scorers coming off their bench. Leonard Miller getting involved in the action in the fourth quarter
Wow.
as well. But, you know, the role players hitting shots at home, do you think that's simply a case of, will they play 41 games at home versus maybe four or five in OKC so far this season? And it's just reps and familiarity and depth perception of an arena that they're used to.
All the above. And just that comfort of, you know, having confidence playing at home with people cheering for you, knowing that, you know, you're going to maybe have a longer leash, we call it, you know, when you come in off the bench. If I make one mistake sometimes on the road, I'm out of the game. Whereas sometimes a coach will go with you a little more at home. We coach differently at home, I think, a lot of times too. I really do. I think, you know, it's just a. I've always been fascinated, Mo, in all my years of coaching, you know, about the home court advantage. You know, when you have a great team like I had with the Pistons and all these four teams that are left playing, it's amazing how they can have the ability to go on a road and they almost welcome it of being us against the world mentality. And I think you'll see in game four, OKC, a totally different team out there because now they were embarrassed. Now, that doesn't mean the other guys aren't going to play great, but you're going to see a whole different team. Just like tomorrow, I think we'll see a much different team in New York on the road.
What do you see some of those adjustments being? You know, for example, I talked about Rudy Gobert playing higher on the drop. Do you see them kind of starting those pick and rolls higher up the court so that Rudy's left more in space and they can isolate on him? Or like, what are some of the adjustments you see that OKC can make based
Well,
off of?
I think two major things. Number one, they started the game with, I think they had, you know, 9 or 10 turnovers in the first half. They were, you know, offensive fouls, just careless.
Yep. In the first half,
Yeah.
the Thunder had
Yeah.
12 made field goals, 11 made free throws, and 9 turnovers. They
Yeah.
almost, at one point in the game, they had as many field goals as turnovers.
Yeah. And that's a team that won't, sometimes when they're playing well, won't have that for the game.
Well, they have the record for the difference in turnovers forced from the opponent versus their own turnovers.
You know, I just think that, you know, what, you know, I always think as a coach, when you have a good team, this is when I have a loss like this, now I have my players' attention. We often have a saying, and I used to tease BJ about this, that, you know, my players in the NBA, they only let you coach them, I used to say, 3 times a year. The very beginning when we go to training camp, they let you coach because now they're trying to get organized for the season. Then they let you coach him during the regular season in a big game. In a big game. So back in the day, the Pistons versus the Bulls, Pistons versus Celtics, Pistons versus Lakers. Big game, regular season. They'll let you get involved. And then all of a sudden, when we get to the playoffs, now they let you coach. That's when we really earned our money in the playoffs. And so I think this is now where Mark Daigneault and his staff, this is now where they have to come. They've been on a beautiful ride all year. They haven't had to make many adjustments. Tonight they're going to be watching film till 2 or 3 in the morning, our time, about 10 o'clock London time. Okay. And they'll be up there, and they'll be watching that game over and over. And then tomorrow becomes what we call, come to Jesus meeting, so to speak. And I think it'll be quite interesting. But their players will be very responsive to coaching, which is good.
Yeah, and we talk about the home court advantage and the crowd. There was a funny chant going on. The Timberwolves fans were chanting "free throw merchant" at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Ooh.
He had only 4 free throws. He went 4 of 4 from the
I
line, the
think
lowest he's had
you
since game
start you
two
probably
against the
started that
Grizzlies.
chant. You probably
I have
started.
no idea. It's not like I
You
sent
probably
my friends in Minnesota to the game and told them to say it. I mean, I have no responsibility in this. But there isn't too much really to break down from this one, because once the Timberwolves went up early, they just never looked back. And the third quarter for OKC, where they usually make their runs, they came out on an 11-2 run. And then Anthony Edwards just said, "Give me the ball. I'm going to get to work, and we're going to stifle the momentum of the Thunder." And that's what you want your superstar player to do.
And that's when I went to sleep.
So let's talk about tomorrow's game, or tonight's game. Game three in Indiana, the Knicks down 2-0 going on the road. We talked about the potential lineup adjustment. I've heard some rumors that they may start with a double big lineup with Karl-Anthony Towns, Mitchell Robinson moving Josh Hart to the bench. So that'll leave Bridges, OG, and Brunson out there as their starting unit. So I'm not sure if Thibodeau is definitely going to go ahead with that, but there's been some whispers.
That would be something that you probably called in because you wanted that change of the lineup, and I said, Tom Thibodeau, I can't get him to take guys out of the game. You
Well,
want him to change the lineup.
Tibbs might be coaching for his job here, so he's got to try anything.
Yeah, boy, it's hard to believe, isn't it? But anything's possible in this world. The only reason I say no is that number one, they'll be very vulnerable. If one of them gets in foul trouble, or both, now you don't have subs. But I would be very surprised that they would do that. But I think the problem is the Siakam. Who's going to guard Siakam? And then who's going to guard, Tyrese?
But
Because the
also with
matchups are
that,
really difficult.
if the Pacers go to that five out, then you're taking Mitch Robinson away from the hoop. And it's like, surely if I'm hearing whispers of this, surely the Pacers are hearing it as well. And Rick Carlisle is coming up with a plan that if they do start Mitch Robinson, we're going to run this and take Mitch Robinson out of the paint so that he can't be as impactful. Even though he does hold his own on the perimeter, he won't be as impactful as he usually is.
Well, we know what the Pacers do. They'd love to make this game 94 feet offensively and defensively, and their whole game plan is for a 48-minute game. You might stay with us for 44 minutes, but at some point we're going to wear you down, and that is their whole premise. And they're going to pick up Brunson full court just to wear him out and to tire him out, so that the best clutch player in the NBA gets tired at the end of the game, which I think is natural when you're playing full court with people picking you up the entire game. So their strategy is not going to change. In fact, they'll even go faster at home because they're the ones that have comfort. And Rick will be playing 11 players at least.
The New York Knicks have all five of their starters averaging 35 plus minutes in the regular season. The Pacers had zero players on their roster average 35 plus minutes. Tyrese Haliburton at 33.6, Pascal Siakam at 32.7, and Miles Turner at 30.2 are the only players to average over 30 minutes a game, because Rick Carlisle can go all the way down in his rotation to 10 plus players throughout the course of the regular season to give them kind of that extended run.
Yeah, and people don't think it's important, but I think one of the things that happens, the more players you play, the more they have confidence in their own game. But more importantly, the more engaged those guys are that they're part of a team. If I never get in and all of a sudden you put me in, now it's hard. I'm not used to playing that much. So I think, and they have some, the Knicks have some good guys on the bench, but they don't use them hardly, you know? And so it's a huge advantage when you're getting this deep in the playoffs to play this many guys. I think, you know, I told you, you know, we played eight players on our second championship, nine every game, and our first championship. And I think it's really important because those players are getting a significant minutes. And the funny thing was, when we were with the Pistons, our five best players were not our starters when we finished the game. We had guys coming off the bench. We might have Rodman, James Edwards, and you know, a guy like Vinnie Johnson in the game down the stretch. And I think that's so important when you have that good of guys that are coming off that can contribute late in the game. And I think that's what Pacers have and the Knicks don't.
I saw a video today that surfaced, and I really enjoyed watching this. It
Of
was,
me? No?
no, not quite.
No. Okay.
It was the Indiana Pacers in the preseason, before preseason training camp. So this was in the summer last year. Pascal Siakam invited the whole team to his house in Orlando, and the whole team was there. They had assistant coaches there, they had their trainers and staff, their medical staff, whatever. And they were all working out together, and except for Tyrese, who was at the Olympics at the time. And Miles Turner had some of the bigs on the roster with him in Dallas, and then they all went to Orlando. And Pascal Siakam was telling his team, he said, "Look, we made it to the conference finals. We're going to hear a million times that they got lucky. They didn't mean to be there. But we really have accomplished nothing because we made it to the conference finals. So what? We need to get to the NBA finals and we need to win the whole thing. I won a championship in my third year, and it's been 5 years since then. And everyone doesn't think we could do it, but we got to go get it done." And I just think that the fact that they're running back the same roster is an advantage over a lot of teams
Sure.
in the NBA. But also the fact that they're so tight-knit in the fact that they're all working out together in the summer, all at, you know, kind of the, I don't know who's the leader of the team, but I guess Siakam's the most accomplished on paper player. But they just move so well as a team unit, and they've all bought in because he was even telling the guys, because they had all the young guys there, you know, kind of end of the bench guys as well. And he said, "Listen, if you get sent to the G League, so what? Go put up numbers in the G League and they'll bring you back. When they put you in garbage time, don't waste those minutes. Don't be throwing up any BS shots. You got to play hard so that you can show what you can do if you're ever needed, if someone gets hurt or they need your skill set in a game situation." And I think having leadership like that from Pascal Siakam on this team, like, we can talk about the trade and the on-court value that it brought, given his 39-point performance, but I think the off-court performance and what he's done in terms of chemistry and cohesiveness and as a leader needs to be spoken about a little bit as well.
Big time in leadership on Pascal's PR part. You know what? I think it's that I'd love to see that video because that's extraordinary stuff. Because during the summer, NBA players don't work out because they much because you know they sometimes get together at the end of August, beginning of September, because they start camp around October 1st, and they've played. You know, for eight, and when you play in the conference finals, you play for almost, it's a 9, 10 month season. So the body has to recover. But I think one of the really important things, I remember when I went to the Pistons, I was coming from the Atlanta Hawks coaching, and I said to Isaiah Thomas, I said, how do you approach the season in the game? What are your goals here? Because I was joining the team in January. So he said to me, Coach, all we worry about is we worry about winning the next game. If we have a game tonight, we worry only about that game. And then he said, the only other thing we worry about is winning the championship. I said, you know, in Atlanta, we were worried about making the playoffs, winning 50 games. That was it. We accomplished it every year, but we never went further in the second round. They had the mentality if they didn't win the championship, the season was awful. The most unhappy season I had in 35 plus years coaching in the NBA was when we were going for a three-peat against the Bulls, and BJ's Bulls, he was in his second year. They beat us four straight to keep us from three-peating. And I felt it was the most unsuccessful year I had as a coach in the NBA because we didn't win the whole thing. And we were the second best team in the league to the Bulls, that we were better than the Lakers. So I love Siakam's, the way he's approaching it. The mentality is phenomenal. It's big, big time leadership. And think about this. This is a guy that is not from the States. He played in Toronto, was traded there a year ago, and already assuming a leadership role. That's impressive.
And
Really
not
impressive.
only that is he spent time in the G League as well. So when he's telling his teammates, it doesn't matter if you have to go to the G League and get reps. It actually means something because he went from G League to NBA champion.
That's amazing. That's a great point. I forgot about that.
He was MVP of the G League. I think
I
they
look
won
at him
the
as
Raptors. What's the G League called?
the 905.
905. I
That's
think they won a
their
championship and he
the area
got
code.
MVP.
And you ready for the coach?
Go on.
Who was, you know who the coach was on that team? The great Jerry Stackhouse.
Oh, what? Yeah, because
The
he's on the
Golden
Warriors
State
now.
staff. Yes.
And he
And
did.
so they had a very accomplished coach who then, became an NBA assistant with other teams and then became the head coach of Vanderbilt University in the SEC, and then is now with the Warriors, and he's the only one that can talk to Draymond Green. So he's pretty impressive coach. But that's a phenomenal story, Mo. And that I always say, and for our listeners, we have an expression, you want to really know what's inside. Coaches in any sport don't win the championships. I don't care if it's Chuck Daly, Pat Riley, Phil Jackson, Steve Kerr. It's internal leadership by the players. And I guarantee you, it's in football overseas, and it's every sport in the States. It's internal leadership by the players on the team. And Siakam and Tyrese and those guys, that's why they're winning.
Absolutely. So, do you have a pick for game three? Because we saw Minnesota respond tonight and bounce back. Do you think the Knicks can do the same thing, but they're back against the wall going to Indy?
Yeah, they've been a great road team in the playoffs, winning all three games in Detroit. Detroit is, since what, 14 or whatever, is still waiting for a win at home. And I think they've been a terrific team. Boston, they win first two games,
Yep,
absolutely
20-point
incredible.
comebacks on the
So
road.
they've won, I think, five of six road games they played. So yes, they're going to go there, and just like I think now, the Pacers have won seven road games in the playoffs. It's insane.
Yeah, six in a
That's
row on the road.
right. It's amazing.
Yeah,
Absolutely amazing.
we've got to see what happens because we will know if they go up 3-0, then
So I'm picking my Knicks. I'm picking my
picking the
Knicks.
Knicks.
Yeah, I haven't been right yet, but I'm
I'm
going to pick.
picking the Pacers
Yeah.
because I don't see a way that and it's funny, Scott and BJ and I talked about this at the very start of season when they made the trade for Karl-Anthony Towns. And everyone said the same thing. The Knicks are going to be really good. However, when you come to the playoffs and it's down the stretch, and yes, they've been a great clutch team, but now Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson are being targeted more than ever, either individually or put them both in a pick and roll and make your move off that. I just think unless the Knicks can do what the Timberwolves did here early tonight and go up big early at the start of the game, I don't know if them being such a great clutch team and Jalen Brunson being so great in the clutch is going to be enough because of the other side of the basketball.
Here's a couple of factors, okay? Not disputing any of what you're saying is on the money, and I'm a substitute teacher for Mr. Armstrong and Mr. Perry, okay? So,
Humble, humble.
yes, it's a humble brag. But I'm going to say this is that the one thing I can tell you is happening to the Pacers all day today, and will happen all day tomorrow till they play tomorrow night, is they will be some guys might come down with back injuries because everyone in Indianapolis is patting them on the back and telling them how
Yeah.
great they are. And so that's that human nature that you and I talk about that's going to creep in, and all of a sudden, and so it's when you need that eye of the tiger type of mentality and focus, and all of a sudden now everyone's telling you how great you are and you're going to sweep and you're going to be in the finals. It's you have to stay in the
They might
moment.
have a secret weapon, though. They might have a 13th man on the bench. They might let Tyrese Halliburton's dad off house arrest for this game so that he can come and be courtside.
That'll be the biggest mistake. If they do, then they definitely lose.
Don't mess up a good thing while it's going. Don't mess up a good thing while it's going. Get your place in the finals sorted first, and then you can worry about all
No,
that.
I'm keeping him out the whole season. He needs to
Yeah.
stay away. Yeah, is Dad needs to learn his lesson.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that was
that was
crazy.
insane.
I don't know if we even talked about it on the show, but that was
No,
him and Giannis, that was
that
insane.
was insane.
He's lucky Giannis is such a nice guy.
I was just gonna, I you
Giannis
hit
could
it.
crush him with one hand.
Giannis is maybe one of the most international great gentlemen of sport, and if it was several other guys, they would have popped the guy,
Go talk
and
to Isaiah Stewart
and
like
rightly
that and see
so,
what happens.
because poor Giannis didn't even know, who it was at first. It didn't even register with him that who's this guy on the court, But thank God he had restraint, But I'm gonna for just debate's sake till our next show tomorrow, I'm gonna say I'm gonna go with the Knicks just to keep it interesting. I hate to see the playoffs end. I want to see more games. I'm rooting for the Knicks to extend this series to at least five.
Speaking of just for debate's sake, I actually have a question for you because today I went to a one-on-one tournament. It's a tournament called The One by Jordan Brand, where they're hosting it in 15 cities across the world to find the best one-on-one player under the age of 17, I believe, in the world. And it was the London qualifiers today. The winner advances to the European qualifiers and then the global finals in New York this summer. But it got me thinking. If the entire NBA had a one-on-one tournament, who comes out on top?
Wow. I was just going to ask you, what are the rules? Okay.
Well, the rules today was 6 minutes on the clock or first to 15, twos and threes. If you're shooting foul, you shoot one shot for 2 points.
You have any limit to the number of dribbles or anything
No
like
limit on
that?
the number of dribbles, but you can't back down your opponent 2 possessions in a row, which is a very random rule, but. So like Prime Shaq couldn't just back down his opponent
I was
on
just going to
every single
say,
possession.
yeah, if you did that in the NBA, you have those guys who would try to back you in. On the bigger players, I could see a Giannis of the bigger guys, a Julius Randle is so darn strong, and he can also shoot the ball. LeBron, top of the head. On the medium-sized guys, a healthy Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown,
Kevin Durant.
Luka, KD, those kind of guys. But then when it gets to the small cats,
Kyrie. No, Kyrie's the only name there on out of small guards. Fully
no,
healthy. Fully healthy. We talk about ones though.
yeah, no, I'm thinking the Kyrie's, when healthy is terrific. But I'm also thinking along the lines of the Cade Cunninghams, Big Brody Brunson is an interesting guy. Devin Booker, and don't forget Anthony Edwards. My God.
Shea as well. They can't leave out the
Shea, I
MVP.
mean, my God, I don't know how Shea, he's got the medium range game and the three game. Absolutely fascinating. Do you know before you were born, they had an NBA 101 contest back in the day? I believe Pete Maravich was in the league, if you look at it up, Mo, and they played it on TV, and it, but it was a very strange thing. I can't even imagine
It
it
was
nowadays.
Bob Lanier who actually won.
How about that?
Pete Maravich won horse.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah,
in their time.
that is crazy. He won a satchel full of $15,000 that Bill Russell awarded him.
15,000, huh?
Players today wouldn't even pick up the phone for $15K.
Wouldn't you see how they played an all-star game for 100 grand, huh?
Yeah, they wouldn't even post the Instagram story for 15,000. That was but according to the CPI inflation calculator, $15,000 in 1972 is the
Oh,
equivalent of $100,000 today.
yeah. What, this is fascinating. I did not know about that contest at all.
Bob
Interesting.
Lanier beat Jojo White from the Celtics in the final,
Celtics.
21 to 16.
How about that?
Yeah.
And I never would have picked Bob. And I actually, trivia. I ran a basketball camp in Detroit, Bob Lanier, myself, and Dick, the great Dick Vitale, the legendary voice of ESPN, and I had a basketball camp together. How about that?
Crazy.
Yeah.
That is legendary.
Yeah. See, I mean, your listeners are getting like they're getting what we call filler content in a blowout game
Hey,
tonight. That's
listen,
what they're
I heard Mike Breen, was it Mike Breen commentating the game tonight? He was talking about Chris Finch getting his coaching start with the Sheffield Sharks of the British Basketball League. And that's what woke me up. I heard the commentator say British, and I woke up. Are they talking about me? No, of course they're not. But shout out to Chris Finch because he did start coaching over here and Nick
Yes.
Nurse as well. You know, speaking of
Yep.
Siakam and everything he did with the Raptors, Nick Nurse was a big part of that as well. So, you know,
And
it's the
the London Lions and all those good. Yeah. I think in the NBA Europe, I think we're going to have two teams from England.
We're
My
gonna have to wait and
sources
see.
tell me.
Yeah, we're gonna have to wait and see what happens with that because I might just need a general manager job for one of those
Well,
teams.
yeah, I as long as you still do the show at night, you can have the job.
I'm just stuck with the show for life now. They could
Yeah,
make me president. They could make me
no,
president of the United States, and I'm still doing the
you're doing the damn show though, okay?
podcast. This is prime filler content. This has been actually quite valuable filler content because some of the filler content BJ and I have had to do over the years has been a little bit more out there, not so much basketball. So this has
Well,
been fun, Coach Sir. I appreciate you.
hey, well, tomorrow night will be interesting, and we'll see. I just want to see a damn good game. That's what I want to see, and I think again, tomorrow in Indianapolis is a huge day because it's, as you know, it's a worldwide race, the Indianapolis 500, and then we call it an IndyCar race because of the cars that they drive. It's not Formula One, which is in Monaco tomorrow, which I love. But it's a 500-mile race, which is incredible. So that'll be in the afternoon, and then we'll see what happens, with the game at night. So be great content. So I
Absolutely.
look forward to it.
Absolutely. And we'll be here breaking it down for you guys. So subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. As always, check out Coach Sir at Coaching You. You can just Google Coaching You, as in the letter U, not YOU, just Coaching You. And you'll find out everything that he's been doing. And yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, unlike the OKC Thunder tonight, get buckets.